Hi guys, we are back with Chef Khaled for part two of this week's episode, where we talk about how important it is to grow as a person. We talk about how he loves to read and kind of expand his areas of knowledge. And we also talk about how important it is to kind of help people who might be stagnating to, you know, find their passions. So listen in and I hope you enjoy. Hi, Chef Khaled. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So we're going to go right into the questions. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So what are some of the things that make us grow as people?
I want to say the willingness to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I think once you close specific doors on yourself, it's only your loss. You don't want to grow without getting to at least expose yourself to different things and, you know, different experiences, new challenges. Learning from other people's experiences, all these are ways to develop yourself and to grow. And just keeping an open mind, generally, when you're really opinionated and when you keep sticking to your biased opinion, you close off many opportunities that can come your way. So really just be open for everything.
I really like that open mind point. What was a turning point for you where you realized how important it is to kind of have an open mind and be kind of open to all the experiences that you went through?
For example, for me, when I used to make sandwiches directly in front of the guests, sometimes I would burn the sandwich due to an error that I had made. For example, you know, I would be forgetting one sandwich and moving on to working on another order. The open-mindedness would be to be able to apologize to that person without taking it too personal or, you know, feeling a bit narcissistic in a way that you refuse to apologize to someone. You know what I mean?
Like, so be humble, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of humbling to admit that, yes, it was your fault, you know, that you're more than willing to accommodate to that guest's order by, you know, maybe just throwing away that sandwich and making them another one. And for the time that they've waited, you can compensate them with a, you know, just give them that sandwich for free. I feel like just the ability to, you know, have that sort of interaction between you and a stranger is something that you would definitely need to have an open mind for.
I think it's interesting because, like, you bring up the point of being humble. And in terms of growing as a person, I think that's very important because you have, in order to learn and be open to learning, you have to know that there's a lot out there you don't know.
Exactly.
And there, you have to be comfortable with that and you have to be humble in your limitations and understand what your limitations are of what you currently know in order to kind of strive to know more.
Exactly.
And I think one of the things that stops a lot of people from growing is as soon as they come across something they don't understand or they don't know or they're not comfortable with, they end up kind of feeling insecure. And so they shut down and they kind of close themselves off to either the opportunity or the learning moment or whatever it is.
Exactly. Yeah. And that insecurity actually is one of the things that many chefs who might be very resisting to growing would have. And it might be reflected in the way that they would perceive a comment on their food. So for example, let's say I made a dish and then I received negative comments on that dish. Some chefs would just close that off and they won't even accept any comments on the food that they make because they feel like that because they had been in this industry for many years that they're entitled to reject people's opinion. But that's something that I feel is...
I'm just running through all Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmare episodes in my head right now. And every time he gives them criticism, and they're like, no,
see,
it's perfect.
The thing is, when Gordon Ramsay speaks, he speaks from experience. And the reason why he might get aggravated is I'm not, you know, teaming up with Gordon Ramsay because I've worked at his restaurant. But no, but it's because he actually wants you to learn. And because this was taught to you once and twice, and sometimes it's because there are people who might be waiting for you to produce something in a specific time, it can get to you. So, for example, let's say I trained a staff member, or let's say I trained a chef to perform a specific dish in a specific way. now it's that chef's duty to perform. Let's say when we are during service and now we have a paying customer who is sitting in the dining area waiting for a dish to be made a specific way, me as the head chef, or let's say Gordon Ramsay as the head chef, would expect you to perform since training has been done. You already know what is expected from you. For you not to perform on the spot just means that you are not ready to work at the level of Gordon Ramsay's kitchen.
What I'm getting from that is you're very tough as a boss, but I'm not going to go. So...
Not really, but when you need training, it's better that you admit to it and you go to training as opposed to saying that you're ready when you're not.
Okay, so yeah, admit when you don't know something.
Exactly.
Because that's the only way you're going to learn and you're going to grow.
Exactly.
No, I like that and I agree with that. I think a lot of people, and this is actually the next point I wanted to come to, a lot of people think the arc of life is go to school, university, get a job, get married, have kids, and then coast till the end with like a few promotions and vacations along the way. That feels to be like the kind of checklist that everyone has or the arc that everyone has. What are your thoughts on that?
It's really good to at least have a direction for you, because not many people actually have a passion. So for you to be at least on a safe path is not a mistake. However, let's say along the way you find something that you're very passionate about, and you fear, you know, you have that fear of taking a risk and seeing where your passion might lead. It's I want to say that it would be very challenging for you to go on and take that risk without getting some sort of feedback on your work.
Okay.
So, for example, let's say I'm an artist or a painter, for example, and I paint at home in my free time, but my paintings suck. If I'm really bad at it, I wouldn't really just take the leap and go and decide and become a full-time artist. How I would know if my paintings are good or not would be through feedback. So you should really be open to listening to people's comments and feedback on your work. Just as a rule of thumb, basically, it's a rule that I had developed on my own, and I think that it served me well, and you know, it can help serve others in performing well as well, is that when you're approaching food, you should normally have two things that you need to work on. One is perfecting flavor, or as much as possible. Second would be execution.
It's so interesting that you bring that up, because like, I don't remember who I was having this conversation with, but I was basically bitching about the younger generation. And I was saying that my issue about them was that they don't understand that talent is not enough and that execution is everything and consistency is everything. A lot of my issue, I feel, with the younger generation is that they feel like they're talented or they feel like they've got something, but they don't have the follow through of consistency, of showing up for themselves, of understanding that you have to execute over and over and over again, because that matters so much more than your talent. There's a lot of talented people out there that have gone nowhere because they don't have the follow through at the end of the day. So I agree with you in the sense that like execution is at the end of the day everything. That's what matters. I wanted to go back to the fact that you have your day job and of course your kitchen. A lot of our generation are multi-hyphenates. A lot of us are doing lots of different things. And we have multiple roles. I think it's very much a generational thing. Why do you think it is that so many of us are doing multiple things nowadays, as opposed to just one thing? Why is one thing so, I guess, maybe unsatisfying?
I think it's just because they like to keep their options open. So they want to keep like, you know, a hand in every field until one of them pays off. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So you can, for example, for me, you know, my day job is, let's say it's something that I feel like I can definitely grow in. And it's something that I'm pursuing to grow in.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when I'm working with the restaurant business, it is something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
So when you have these two things that are going on for you, for me, I'm content with these two. Yeah. But let's say tomorrow you feel like, because I like to read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it might not necessarily just be about food and you know, what I do during my day job. Like, for example, the last book I had read was related to astrology. So it has nothing to do about anything that I do. But
okay. It
just, you know, like, it's just something that feeds your imagination.
Yep.
And, you know, it just keeps you aware about different things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're sitting with someone and you try to keep up with that someone, you don't want to sound stupid. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So you want to be as much as possible aware and exposed to the constantly changing things in our universe. And then, mm-hmm. you know, from this book, I might end up being interested in another field that is, you know, it's just this is what I do basically in my free time.
Okay. And, so you've got the day job, and then you've got your passion, which is cooking, and then you're taking things
as
in.
Much as possible, just read about, you know, different things. You'd be interested to hear what other people have going on in their minds.
Yeah,
know?
No, very true. So, I think it's a very good point, because I think especially with day jobs, when I've been lucky in the sense that I always get to hire my own team whenever I'm working. And one of the things I always looked for was when I would hire someone, especially in my last job, because it was, you know, you had busy periods and you had lulls, and mm-hmm. and so I used to always look for people who had their own kind of passion project or their own side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, I think especially with, you know, the way jobs are structured nowadays, mm-hmm. They don't really fit in with how I think our generation functions. And I think we need something that energizes us. And so for me, I always used to look for people that had something on the side that they were super passionate about. Because what I quickly understood was, I can't keep you energized 24/7. As an employee, as a manager, I can't keep you energized 24/7.
Exactly.
And the work isn't going to keep you energized. Sometimes it's just boring admin crap.
Exactly.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Yeah. And if you don't have something that's getting you through your day, that you're passionate about, that you're interested in, then that's going to fall on my head to keep mm-hmm. you energized. And I don't have time for that. So I think that's one of those things.
It's actually, your character, I feel, is something that, you know, I mean, it's something that makes you feel that way, but mm-hmm. it's actually not your fault. Some people don't have a passion because they haven't looked for a passion yet. Mm-hmm. But, and honestly, I feel like these people who don't have a passion, they need help the most in terms of trying to figure out certain things that they like doing or they like to be a part of, and turning that from something that is just making them just participate in into an actual passion.
Right.
Not many people get the opportunity where, you know, life just puts them in a situation where they would end up with a passion. You know what I mean?
So how do you help someone find their passion?
Let's say, for example, you know a person who mm-hmm. Does something on a daily basis and is actually good at it,
mm-hmm.
but he never really thought about working on improving the thing that he normally does. You might be able to provide them with a book that is in the field of the thing that they do. So let's say, for example, you know someone who likes to knit, mm-hmm. let's say. Right. For example, I'm just thinking about something.
You give amazing examples, by the way. Astrology, knitting, like your brain functions in a way that amazes me.
but you know, I mean, if they do it for fun and they're not passionate about it, they just do it, you know, because they know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You might, you know, send them a YouTube link, you know, or, you know, about different ways to knit different styles and how to end up with different results. You might send them a texture that they get to work with,
right.
You know, and it's just this is what you do as, you know, as a friend or, you know, as someone who cares about someone, is you don't want them to just, you know, sit there looking at you grow and, you know, expecting things from you only without thinking about their lives. Because, you know, some people might do it out of love,
right.
And they might neglect their own lives. So let's say, for example, you're with your wife. Obviously, your wife is constantly going to keep pushing you helping you achieve your dreams, but it's your duty to also help your wife find a dream as well. And, you know, it's your job as well to maybe guide your wife into achieving her dreams as well in the ways that would help her grow, you know. And
that's interesting, because I've never actually thought about taking ownership of the people's passions in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always one of those things where I'm like, everyone can figure out what they want to do mm-hmm. by themselves. It's never actually occurred to me that, hey, so-and-so might not have a passion. So-and-so might be struggling. Let me take the time to help them figure out what they're doing with their life. But yeah, no, that's an interesting take on
it might actually help you in your business as well. Like, for example, I have a team of pastry chefs mm-hmm. In my restaurant, but one of them specifically likes to work with chocolates.
Okay.
Now, it's not necessarily something that we push or produce on a daily basis in mm-hmm. my restaurant, but it's. I thought that it would be great to send this chef to a chocolate course.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, after I sent this chef to a chocolate course, he came up with better desserts than the ones that we used to make in our restaurant. Wow. So in a way, you know, in an unexpected way, this way of you helping someone ended up helping you as well in your True. Business. So, yeah. So you never know, like, this kind of support. I mean, I'm not saying that you should always expect something in return, but saying that it might yield
surprising results.
Surprising results, exactly.
Okay, super cool. All right, so I'm going to ask you a few questions that are unrelated to growth, or maybe related to growth. Who knows? We'll find out, depending on your answers. what's one word you use to describe yourself in your internal dialogue that you don't say out loud?
I think one thing that I wasn't very successful at mm-hmm. Growing up was to stay patient.
Mm-hmm.
I think that whenever I'm faced with a certain challenge where I would feel like I want to like break everything in the kitchen, that's the one thing that I say to myself is stay calm mm-hmm. and be patient, you know, try again. One thing that, you know, can apply in everything I do, for example, it can even apply during a traffic jam. So you can always just say to yourself, Khalid, you know, stay calm. You know, this guy didn't mean to, you know, turn in front of you without signaling left, you know. Yeah. So it's just, you know, that's one thing that I say to myself to mm-hmm. continuously, you know, help myself grow in that area.
Would you consider yourself impatient?
I'm a very impatient person, yeah. But I try as much as possible to achieve the best results in the shortest amount of time possible.
Okay.
But if it's going to require me to take a long time to achieve what I intend on, I would definitely take all the time necessary.
Okay.
But I won't do it waiting, what I'm trying to say. If I'm going to want to achieve that goal, I would constantly keep trying until I reach what I want. So
amazing. So what's a side of you that you would like to step into more?
One thing that I've just started doing is actually to read. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really been interested in opening books actually until the age of like 26. It's just been over the past 3 years that I've, you know, started to get into wanting to read. But again, with my schedule being the way it is, I try as much as possible to give more time to read as much as I can.
It's interesting because it seems like you made a grilled cheese sandwich, you fell into a new career that you suddenly had to learn a lot about.
Exactly.
And then you fell in love with learning and just kept reading and learning more and more.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
all from a grilled cheese sandwich.
And yeah, you know.
All right. Last question. What's your favorite childhood memory and why?
Growing up, there was this thing that we used to do every weekend or every Friday after Friday prayer. We would gather at my grandma's house. And there used to be always this awesome lamb stew.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be consistent every single weekend. Whenever we would go, it would always taste the exact same. And I wouldn't really care about the process that went into making that dish, you know? Mm-hmm. I would just, you know, be more interested in coming to eat it, yeah. you know, growing up. But then as I grew older and as I went into this profession, now it's just that one memory that I get to cling on.
Yeah.
Every time I think about everything that my grandma used to do to make that dish for us every weekend.
Oh,
you
wow.
know? Well, I mean, now my grandma is you know, too old to be in the kitchen. But it's just that single memory that always connects me to the kitchen. And, you know, it's one thing that made me appreciate my grandma and, you know, the members of my family who cook as well more than what I used to usually.
That's amazing how, like, what you're doing now kind of linked you back to a memory back when you were a kid. So that's it. We're done. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So where can people find out more about you or any of the projects that you're working on?
I'm mostly available at the restaurant in Abu Dhabi, Faye Cafe. That's F-A-E.
Mm-hmm.
So Faye, it means shadow in Arabic.
Yep.
And the reason why we called it that is because of the huge gaff tree that we have located in the center of the dining area.
Oh, wow.
So it's giving off a really nice shadow to the dining area. So we just called the space based on the shadow that the tree gives off. But it's in Abu Dhabi where you'd mostly find me. Our kitchen always welcomes people who want to learn more about cooking. We do have a database of over 4,000 recipes.
Wow.
And they're all free. I don't really, consider any of the recipes that we serve at Faye as a secret.
Gotcha.
You know, you can come in at any time and we'll show you how it's done. Because for me personally, I was able to learn everything for free. So it's kind of unfair for me to charge people for it at this point.
No, but you're passing it on. That's amazing. Cool.
Yeah, and that's just one of the reasons why. It's basically I'm trying to pass on everything that I want chefs to go for, as opposed to following just the commercial ways of making, you know, just normal dishes.
That's amazing. Okay, well, thanks to everyone for listening. Let me know what you guys think is super important about growing and how you guys go about continuing to grow as people. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Rami, or wherever you're listening. Join me next week for another episode of Millennial Mirrors. This is Imshad Al-Anezi signing out. Bye, guys.